In all my years of seeing Christmas carols and then being in the current production, the Goodman Theater production of A Christmas Carol, I have never been more moved by the Cratchit family, with the possible exception of Kermit and Miss Piggy.
Fair.
Hi, Chris.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 20th year, number 994, Meet the Cratchits. John Hudson Odom and Helen Ju Lee are playing Tiny Tim's parents, the Cratchits, in this year's Goodman Theater production of A Christmas Carol. Both John and Helen are Chicago-based actors who've worked all over the country and whose work I've long admired in other productions, so I was doubly thrilled to not only appear on the same stage as them, but to get to pick their brains about how they turn the Cratchits, these iconic characters, into real, joyous people.
I think for me, this is actually, I did the production about 15 years ago.
Oh.
And it was actually my first equity contract at the Goodman.
Oh, amazing.
Yes, playing Dick Wilkins.
So this is your triumphant return.
So this is my triumphant return. Did a number of Christmas carols at Ford Theater, MacArthur Theater, kind of working my way.
Back home.
Yes. So, number one, I think that it's definitely been influenced by the ghosts of Christmas past, so to speak,
sure,
of all of the productions that I've been a part of, but also have seen,
yeah,
movies, television shows. And then I think the biggest thing for me was trying to find, personally, how I could relate to Bob. And a lot of that came from my own family. Yeah. I don't have any kids. I have a cat. That's it.
Counts.
Yeah.
Totally counts. 100%. But I do come from what I've joked as the Cratchits. I'm the middle child of seven.
Wow.
And we even have a little Tiny Tim. My youngest, second youngest brother, Josiah, was born 1 pound, 12 ounces.
Oh,
and spent a lot of his first couple years in the ICU. He's doing well now, and thriving. So it was bringing a lot of that personal experience of what it was like to grow up in a huge family, and finding those little tiny moments. I think there's one moment where I have the kids applaud, uh-huh, after I compliment the Mrs. Cratchit's cooking,
uh-huh,
and that's something that we did as a family every time. Aww. That my mother.
That's amazing.
Impressed us with her cooking skills.
Yeah. And Helen, what about for you? Did you have a similar personal connection?
No, I have one brother. I don't have seven.
Counts.
So. I know. Mrs. Cratchit, I just feel like I just imagined, what would I be as a mom if I were the best version of myself and we didn't have a lot of money?
Mm.
And where would you find the optimism and the joy, yeah, even though, you know, you do the calculations and you figure out how much the Cratchit family brings home a year, which is about $40,000 in today's money per year with six children. What is that like? The struggle is real. And so I didn't want the optimism to be fake and kind of toxic positivity.
Yeah.
Like, where can you find the little moments of just seeing your children healthy?
Right.
You know, things like that. And plus, John is so good. I really don't have to do much. I really don't. I really don't. I really don't. And then because a lot of the stuff that happens in the big Cratchit scene,
mm-hmm,
John has just put in there, like the applause that he was talking,
right,
about. Like when Peter, the eldest son, pulls up the chair, that's John's idea.
Oh, very good.
You know, and yeah, all the animal noises and stuff, like, yeah, that's all him. So it's, yeah, just honestly, it's like, and the children are there, the young performers are there. So it's honestly one of those things where you can just be there, be in the scene.
Yeah.
You don't have to push anything because, yeah, the scene is already so sweet. So it's just like, how can I just be here and support everybody else? Like a mother, I think, would do.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and that, that answers the question, which is you can't go out and give Kermit and Miss Piggy's performance. You can only bring the performances that you bring as yourselves,
yeah,
as people. And the thing that moved me so much in the first run through of the show, when we did, you know, two flights up in the rehearsal hall, It was this big. It wasn't the scene at the graveyard. It wasn't any sad moments at all. It was the joy that you guys found in your circumstances, in the family circumstances. Mm-hmm. And I'm not moved by tragedy. I am moved by joy.
Yes.
And that's what it was for me. And I think what you're saying, too, is finding those moments within the circumstances, and as you're talking about, Helen, the it's not toxic positivity.
No.
You are finding the joy within the reality, and that survival instinct is so strong. Sorry, I'm lecturing. I'm holding forth now.
No, it's the same thoughts I have. And also to note, I have never felt more so for people who haven't seen it, Mrs. Cratchit, Malkia the director, was like, basically, please have a Korean accent inflected with Cockney.
Yeah.
And I have never felt more like, even though I'm not British,
right,
the Koreanness that comes through, and she allowed some Korean phrases to come through. My parents are Korean immigrants.
Yeah.
That has made me feel so much more in myself and like ingrounded in who Amazing. Mrs. Cratchit is.
I wanted to ask how you felt about, was that your idea? Was it pitched to you?
Not at all. Okay. That was day one of rehearsal. And then Malkia, the director, said, you know what? No, we want, I have an idea of making Mrs. Cratchit Korean. And I said, I'm sorry, what? And I felt so vulnerable. I was like, really? You don't want me to be Cockney? Because I kind of pushed it away, like, no, this is a very Western story. It doesn't belong to me.
Right.
And then when she said that, and when I tried it, I felt very shy, actually.
It's funny. I did. You never registered it once to me.
Because just of what having a Korean accent, hearing, you know, sometimes my mom, my parents would face some kind of, you know,
Teasing.
Not teasing, but just like, cash registry people just kind of just being like, okay, just get them through, because they can't speak English. So that kind of stuck with me. But then to be able to celebrate it in such a way, and a moment later, I don't know if I can reveal this, Austin.
Sure. Yeah.
The vase?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, when the vase comes out.
Yeah, they have to, in the original story, the Cratchits pawn silver candlesticks.
Yes.
And we changed that to be more specific to the Korean heritage. And it's your mother's vase?
Grandmother's vase. I think it's a celadon vase. So it's like a very milky jade kind of sage color.
Yeah.
And it looks so different from anything else in the show.
Yeah.
The first time I saw it out in rehearsal, I cried.
Yeah.
I cried. It was that moving and visceral. So, Malkia is so smart for that.
Yeah, and it's really great because part of me is I joke that this production has always been as we like to say diverse, and this year even more. It's even more, as Scrooge would say, woke, but in a great way because it's honoring the actors that are in the show and not it's not colorblind, it's color conscious, which I think is very cool. And you guys are nodding, but for the viewer, the listeners at home, it feels really right. And it's again what we were talking about. You bring yourselves, you bring your own heritage, your own baggage, both good and bad, to the production. Again, the other thing that was moving to me was that I have seen Cratchits who are so cowed by Scrooge that they bring it home with them. And I think, John, what I love so much about yours is that you absolutely do not bring any of the Counting House, your work, home with you to your family. And that seemed to me to be heroic, not just joyful, but heroic. Mm. Is that a thing you were conscious of?
Yes, and again, I think I have to give some props to Malkia, our director. She early on had little conversations with each of the members of the cast, and she brought me in and had talked about this idea of code switching and kind of switching from RP to Cockney when I'm at home and just kind of being able to hear that difference. And I kind of took it even deeper, I think. I'm from a mixed race background. My father's black, and his heritage is from the country of Gabon on the west coast of Africa.
Okay.
Mother's white and is German.
Okay.
So we were all kind of passing around what accents we could possibly bring. And she was like, what do you think that Bob could do? And is that right if both of you are immigrants to London, and how did you meet? If and as we kind of started going down the line, you know, there was nothing really that made sense. As for, I don't know if people would be happy about me having a German accent on stage as Bob Cratchit.
German is such a funny language.
It's such a funny language. I don't think it was what we were going
for. A conveyance of humor. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. The Swedish chef. but it was through that of kind of sacrifice that Bob makes of hiding himself away at work, only to be fully realized when he's at home. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of the joy that you experience in that scene is that release from going from the counting house to just the freedom and kind of chaotic, improvised nature, which I'm going to pass it back to Helen now to be like, that's what she brought from day one. Mm. When we were at the table read and she was like, I'm about to do this Korean accent. I don't know how it's going to sound. And I was like laughing with pure joy.
Yeah.
Not only that we were taking ownership as these as the Cratchits, which has been done and overdone and redone and, you know, that it automatically felt new and fresh. And I thought that we tried to bring that sense of play with the children as well, that, you know, to kind of give them a glimpse into what it is to just really play, you know? And it took them a little bit.
They were shy.
They were like, that's not my line. I don't know why you just said that.
Yeah. And two of the kids are veterans of the last year's production.
Yes.
But eventually when they came around to it, it's just so much fun. There's just so much yes and at any given moment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's really just such a joy to play with the children. I mean, every day you get to look into these incredibly talented children's eyes.
They're so sweet as well, my
God. And they're really good. I mean, they're always good kids here, but this year's crop is particularly
really good.
Strong. Yeah.
Yeah.
They really are. They truly are.
Hi, I'm Erin Allen, host of the Curious City podcast on WBEZ Chicago, and you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? In the first half of 2026, we'll be doing three performances of all the great books abridged in Virginia and Michigan, and we'll be bringing back the show that started it all, the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged to more than 30 cities in the UK. Check out the touring page at our website, reducedshakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. Now back to my conversation with John Hudson Odom and Helen Ju Lee, talking about playing the Cratchits in this year's Goodman Theatre production of A Christmas Carol.
Speaking of Helen's improv skills, I want to reveal another spoiler from the show, because Helen, you have the first line of narration in this show, and I have the second line of narration. And on the first couple of performances, you would always come to me, touch my hand, and say very sotto voce, "Are we ready to rock this shit?"
I'm so glad the mics weren't hot, because they could have well been, and I could have gotten in a lot of trouble. But I do, because I just like talking to other actors when the mics are not on. That's the way I keep alive a little bit.
Yes. No, keeping it fresh every day, bringing that day's energy to the performance. Yeah. I mean, it is sort of our jobs. It is absolutely.
It is our jobs. It is our job.
It is our job.
Yeah.
There's a production that someone should make of what it's like with Christmas Carol on mic the entire time.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so fun. Right. The Goodman Christmas Carol bloopers. That would be so great. I would love that.
Well, it makes me want to ask. We are sitting in the Goodman Theater sound recording studio as we record this, and I want to ask Jesse, the sound head sound person, what does she hear on the mics when we're not live, you know?
Oh, so many, like, so juicy. Many. You could write a book. I wish we had a gossip wall, you know, with just post-its of what people say when you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss the privilege of playing Scrooge as the alternate Scrooge that I was for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
I don't miss the pressure of only getting to do him 10 times and then every performance has to be just that very special. Do you find it, do you guys find it a privilege to play the Cratchits?
Yes, I would say so. I mean, there's something very Shakespearean about Dickens and Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
And it does feel like you're stepping into a Hamlet, you know, esque type role or a clown, I guess, the fool for someone like Bob. And in that sense, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you're paying homage to so many great performances in the past. And, you know, just these iconic lines, my little child, you know.
Yeah.
That the only thing that you can do is come from an earnest place.
Yeah.
And that will read.
Even in the large Goodman Theater.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes, I think it's a huge honor.
Yeah.
I absolutely think it's a privilege.
Yeah.
And I have been a bit of a Scrooge in the past where I didn't grow up with Christmas because my parents are Korean immigrants. Uh-huh. And when we were kids, we did have the Christmas tree and they tried with the cookies and the milk and all of that.
Sure.
But as soon as we found out Santa wasn't real, they were like, oh, we're done, right? Like,
right.
We
yeah.
were like, so my adulthood was never any Christmas.
Right.
And so I was like, why are people spending this money? Mm-hmm. Like, this is wasteful. Like, okay, bah humbug. Yeah. I just want to be by myself.
Yeah.
Until this year. And then, and also, like, it's been a warm-up because my partner absolutely loves Christmas.
Okay.
And so, you know, I was like, oh, I was excited to do A Christmas Carol, but I didn't really get it until the first day. And then Susan Booth, the Goodman artistic director, said, just imagine how many theaters across the nation right now are getting ready, are doing the exact same thing we are for these roles that have been played in how many theaters for how many years. And then I just, out of nowhere, this Scrooge heart just started to cry. And so, yeah, and I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now.
Helen's heart grew 3 sizes that day.
Yes, and it keeps growing, I think, I hope. But so when I thought about that, I thought, oh, okay, then it is a privilege to step into this role. Very iconic. And also what a great thing to try on for, like, clothes and then give to the next person, you know, and to have them wear it, and it belongs to all of us, and we might zhuzh it in a different way,
sure.
style mm-hmm. it in a different way, but it's all the same basic, you know, full of love. And so it was very, very cool.
I love what both of you are saying about Helen getting to throw in a Korean accent and John code switching. What I love about all of that is that we all don't sound like we all went to the same drama school.
Yes.
You know, we sound like people, and I think we sound. We sound different the way we look different, and that's a great celebration of the story as well.
Mm. It's a very modern way to be diverse without having it so over your head. And, like, it's just, we can just be ourselves.
And telling a story that maybe is more universal than we thought.
It's so universal.
Yeah, yeah,
it's so universal.
Yeah.
I was watching It's a Wonderful Life, and it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like you just realize what a gift life is, and that's universal everywhere.
Yeah.
What's so wonderful coming back after 15 years is seeing the progression of and the evolution of this show.
Yeah.
And to now step in and look out and know that everyone in the audience is finding one character, one moment where they really feel and see themselves on stage. And that's another reason why it is such a privilege to step on the stage, is that we know that we are impacting people in a beautiful way at a time that we could all very much so use it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I think Malkia pointed out that and some of the children in the audience are seeing their parents and grandparents mm-hmm. on the stage now, and the accents that their parents and grandparents have, which is great.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. The Goodman Theater production of A Christmas Carol runs through New Year's Eve 2025. Go to goodmantheater.org for more information. Then send us your grandmother's vase via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com, or throw comments to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks as always to Massive Tim Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and Garage Band, and this week by Eric Essex, whose holiday album My Gift to You is in regular rotation in my house this time of year. Go to ericessex.net for more information. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Lindsay Jones. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Aaron Allen, host of WBEZ's Curious City podcast, which just did a very fun feature on Chicago Sun-Times reporter Stefano Esposito's cameo appearance in one performance of A Christmas Carol. Go to wbz.org/curious-city for more information. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 994 2980 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
I was collecting money for the Season of Concern. It was my first time, and I just on a whim decided in the middle of the show to go out. And I was
standing out in the lobby after the show with a bucket.
Yes. And a group of Asian teenagers came up to me, and they were at Interlochen. They were musical theater students,
sure,
high school students, and they were just all gushing about how it was so cool to see an Asian Mrs. Cratchit. And we were all talking, and I was encouraging them to, like, please join me. Like, we need more Asian women. And then not only that was just, you know, bucket filling, but then there was another mother of color waiting, watching the whole thing. She waited so patiently because I wasn't going to let these five women go, these five teenagers go, you know, because they were just there taking pictures with me and everything. And then the mother, after the teenagers left, she came up to me and she goes, I just wanted to talk to you about the diversity, but I just saw what it means to have representation on stage. She waited for a good 15 minutes just to tell me that. And she was there with her daughter, and she was like, this is so great for my daughter to watch. So I think about that all the time when I'm just tired and I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. So yeah, that's what I think this diverse, new, modern kind of Christmas Carol that still holds roots to the traditions,
yep,
what it can do for the young people.
And if you're an audience member who thinks, oh, it's too woke, then that makes you a Scrooge.
Yeah!
Bastards.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.